for the Bay Area's favorite quiz show, Minds Over Matter, with our moderator today will be educator Lori Fisher, accompanied by Kira Pace and Cameron Shaw. This is 91.7 FM KALW.
If you ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might.
And it's got to be our moderator for this week, and it will be Lori Fisher.
Thank you, Damian, and welcome everybody to this beautiful morning. Hope you're having a lovely morning. If this voice sounds kind of familiar but in the wrong place, that's because Dana Rodriguez, a moderator for 25 or 35 years, whatever it's been, is off gallivanting. We hope his flight gets home in time for next week. But in the meantime, thanks to Damian, we're on with Cameron Shaw and Kira Pace for a great day. It's an audience participation show, as you know, and if you don't know, it is. And we'd love you to call in early. The way the show works best is if we get a lot of calls in. So numbers are 415-841-4134. That's the main number at the station, 415-841-4134. And although I don't know if toll-free numbers should exist anymore, they do, and we have one, 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. If you call now, almost for sure you'll get in. We have a different email today. For those who use the regular email, don't. Today, our email is studio@kalw.org. studio@kalw.org, and that will get emails into me, and I'll try to read them during the show. As you know, our topics can be anything, movies and music, even pop music since Dana's away, geography, history, news, San Francisco street names, sports, you name it, we will try to do it. Our panel is here to both ask and answer questions. If you call, you can get in live, and if you aren't in live, you can listen to our podcast, which will be posted on kalw.org and other sources, wherever it's most convenient for you to listen. Do that. We hope to get as many calls as we can in today and hope to have a lovely show. So call in when you can, and we will start with a round of introductions, followed by a round of questions, and then followed by a round of your phone calls. First introduction is Kira Pace. We'll try to get through this without a coughing jag. Full disclosure, the odds are pretty low. Oop, Kira.
I don't know.
All right. Sorry. Already off to a bang-up start. Cameron Shaw would like to thank all the veterans for their service to this country and also for giving her a day to sleep in on Tuesday.
Yes.
And
that welcome sound greets the end of the Nobel Prize era. Get it? At least in theory. This week's moderator, Lori Fisher, wants to thank Kira Pace and especially longtime listener Mark Siegel for their technical expertise in bringing back the bell, which you all will now be hearing in all the old familiar places.
Like right there. The bell is back, and we hope it'll be back when Dana returns too. I don't know if he's gone anti-bell or not. Thank you to all the people who wrote in missing the bell, and it's back. So we're done with the no bells. We'll start our questions today with Kira Pace. And perhaps your cough.
Okay, hold on. Sorry. Yeah, my timing is all off. I apologize. Okay, I am going to give you the name of a location and a description. I want you to tell me the name of the cookie that I am describing.
Oh, dear.
All right.
So all these answers are cookies?
They're all cookie names.
All right.
So the first one is from the UK. It is a shortbread sandwich cookie with jam filling and a heart in the middle. A shortbread sandwich cookie with jam filling and a heart in the middle. That is from the UK. That is cookie number one. Cookie number two is from the Netherlands. It is a filled two-layer waffle cookie. Oh. Again, Netherlands, filled two-layer waffle cookie. Number three is also a waffle cookie, this time from Italy, and it is frequently flavored with anise, vanilla, or lemon zest. So again, an Italian waffle cookie that is frequently flavored with anise, vanilla, or lemon zest. Number four is the official state cookie of New Mexico, a crisp butter cookie flavored with cinnamon and anise. This cookie was from when New Mexico was Nuevo México, part of the Spanish Empire. So New Mexico official state cookie, crisp butter cookie that is flavored with cinnamon and anise. The next one is from Southern India. That is a deep fried rose cookie made with rice flour. Deep fried rose shaped cookie made with rice flour from Southern India. The next one is from Massachusetts. A rolled cookie with molasses, rum, and spices. Again, a rolled cookie made with molasses, rum, and spices from Massachusetts. The next one is an Ashkenazi Jewish cookie. It is filled triangular cookie that is popular at Purim. So again, an Ashkenazi Jewish cookie, filled triangular cookie popular at Purim. Gonna cough, sorry.
It's fall. Everybody's sick these days. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
The last one is originally from Spain. It is two round sweet biscuits joined with dulce de leche or jam and covered with powdered sugar. I'm not going to repeat that because I'm going to cough. Okay. I'm sorry.
Hang in there. So I think we have 8 cookies, right, Cameron?
That sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a few guesses. Do you have any?
I have one that I know, and the rest I have no clue. So
same.
have a couple of cookies on me. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to start with, I guess I'll start with the one that I think I know, which is the last one from Spain, an alfajores.
That is correct. Nice job.
Thank you. Can take a couple of guesses. The cookie from the Netherlands, the two-layered waffle cookie, is that a stroopwafel?
Stroopwafel, that is correct. So I'll let Lori do the next one if he has one.
Sure.
I do. I have the Ashkenazi Jewish Purim one. I think it's a Homentashen.
It is. Haman's hat. Oh, that's
and then
correct.
One more for, yeah, very nice.
Did you have any more, Lori?
I don't. Mine would be wild guesses. So why don't you give us what's out there and we'll leave the rest for the audience.
Okay. What is left is the UK shortbread sandwich cookie with jam filling and a heart in the middle. The Italian waffle cookie that is frequently flavored with anise, vanilla, or lemon zest. The official state cookie of New Mexico, which is a crisp butter cookie flavored with cinnamon and anise. A Southern Indian cookie that is a deep-fried rose shape made with rice flour. And the cookie from Massachusetts that is a rolled cookie with molasses, rum, and spices.
All right. A good, sweet way to start the morning.
Yeah. Excellent.
Cameron, you're up next. What do you have?
Okay. Well, I was not on before Halloween, so I was not able to use this question. But now that everybody's moved on, let's see what you remember from Halloween. Billboard recently put out a list of the top 25 Halloween songs. And this is not necessarily like the best Halloween songs, but for some reason, these are the songs that they have on there. I guess that is a subjective thing. So I don't think that they're the best Halloween songs. However, I'm wondering if you can tell me certainly what is number one, but I'm going to say what the top 5 are. And hey, if you get any of the top 10, great. I have them all written down.
Kira, you want the first or first two? We want the top 5, right?
Top 5, yeah.
And these are celebrating the Halloween spirit.
I think they're the top 5, most played, but also most Halloween-y is how it seems to have been decided.
All right.
I'm not going to go with the obvious Halloween to me answer. I will instead go with Thriller.
Yeah, so interesting. Okay. To me, Thriller is the obvious, but actually Thriller is number 22 on this list, is...
So no Bell.
Bonkers. Yeah. No Bell, and this list is bizarre.
All right.
Well, then I'll go with what I think is the even lower hanging fruit, and that must be Monster Mash by Bobby Pickett, right?
Yes, so Monster Mash is number one. I guess number one is not actually bizarre.
That's the one that I thought was... That's what I... also thought would be the obvious one. Thriller number 22, you said.
Number 22, weird, right?
Yeah. The song is less Halloween-y than the video, but it's hard to unconflate the two.
What about the full werewolf bar mitzvah? Featuring Tracy Morgan and an uncredited Childish Gambino.
I would love that to be on the list. I don't think it cracked the top 25.
The top.
Well, that is unfortunate because that song is excellent.
It is an
excellent. 225, yeah.
Also a great Halloween costume, werewolf bar mitzvah.
All right.
Any other guesses? Well, if we can leave it out.
I'll take a wild guess. How about Born That Way by Lady Gaga? Any chance that's in there?
No. I thought
that'd
not
be a long
there.
Shot.
Interesting thought pattern, but
yeah.
No.
Okay. Carrie, you got one more?
I don't.
All right.
Okay.
There was a follow-up to the Monster Mash, but I don't remember what it was called.
There was.
Yeah, it is not that.
All right.
I don't remember what it was called either.
So, Cameron, give us the question again.
Okay. So, Billboard recently published their top 25 Halloween songs of all time, and I'm looking for the top five. We have number one, which is Monster Mash by Bobby Pickett and the Crypt Keepers, and I need 2 through 5.
All right. We'll leave it out there for the audience, and it's time to go to a call. Good morning. You are on Minds Over Matter. Hello.
Hi, good morning. Good morning. This is Reed.
Hi, Reed. How are you doing?
Very good. Very, very good. Nice to talk to you and your audience.
Thanks.
My first question about Nobel Prize. So I was one of the luckiest people in the world, attended UC, University of California, Berkeley, for 14 years as a graduate student in physics, nuclear engineering, as well as a professor later on before I opened my business. So in 1959, two of my best professors won the Nobel Prize for physics, Nobel Prize for physics, 1959. You know, I mentioned the show many times before. Say their name. Do you know them? Or should I tell you just their names?
Karen, do you remember?
1959. Say it again.
I think. Go ahead. Cameron.
It's a tough question.
No,
right,
go ahead.
Right,
yeah.
Tell it. Go ahead. Tell us, Ed.
Go ahead.
Tell us.
It is the first one is Owen Chamberlain, great, great, great professor. It was like a dad to me. And the second one was Emilio Segre, an Italian physicist, was also good. Both of them are great. The golden age of physics. All right. So something in your field, movies. Everybody knows Omar Sharif. He's an Egyptian. He played in many movies. Yeah. Mention a couple of his movies.
Well, he was in Funny Girl.
Beautiful.
Right?
What else?
And then he was in, was he in Lawrence of Arabia? I don't remember.
Yes, he was. It was his first movie. Was,
yeah.
Yes. What about, one more. This is very famous.
One more? The only one other one I remember is Funny Girl. What do you think?
Beautiful sound, beautiful music.
Right. Was he in Dr. Zhivago?
Of course. That's why.
Of course.
Yes.
Okay.
Everybody listen to Dr. Zhivago, Laura's theme. It is beautiful. You can never get tired listening to Laura's theme. This is a beautiful movie, and his acting was great. Who was the co-star with him? Very famous actress.
Julie Christie, right?
Julie Christie.
Yeah.
That was one of the best movies that ever made. You can never get tired watching the movie, listening to the music. Okay, there was another Egyptian actor that played many, many roles in American soap operas in the 50s. And also he was in many movies, including an actor was Marilyn Monroe in what movie?
So this is an Egyptian actor who starred with Marilyn Monroe, correct? In what movie?
Yes. I'll give you the name of the movie. Oh. How to Marry a Millionaire.
Oh.
Marilyn Monroe was, who was the Egyptian actor name? Dan, I know him very well because I talked about it with him about Dana. How about you, Lee? Because time is short.
No, I haven't actually seen that movie. Okay.
You haven't seen it?
No, I haven't seen it. That's a hole in my knowledge.
His name is Eric Darcy. He was born in Alexandria, Egypt. Beautiful actor. He also played in many American soap operas. Also, which is, and be very quick, name also Omar Sharif played in as a Nazi general general. What's the name of the movie? Dana would know that very quickly.
Say it again.
What's the name of the movie?
Okay.
He was a Nazi general in what movie?
In what movie? Omar Sharif.
What era would that, like, what decade are we talking?
Hitler time.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, Hitler time.
No, but when was the movie made?
The movie was made, I believe, in the 50s or 60s.
Okay.
I will tell you the name. Dana would have known because I mentioned before.
The yeah, Knight of course, Dana would
have. The General. The okay. Knight of the General. Watch it, everybody. He just acted beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. Well, what a question for your audience.
Last name, question, Ed.
A last question for sure. Yeah. All right. The I will give it to the audience very quickly. Who is the okay? Let me just one very question. I will give you an answer. Robert quickly. Hess was born in Alexandria. He actually was Egyptian, and that he was Egyptian. Yeah,
interesting.
Oh, one, okay. One last question for your audience. Please let me see. Rick Carlson wrote a book.
Tell us quickly.
Rick Carlson wrote a book about the Republican Party. Rick Wilson, he's a great man. I want your audience, please call and tell the title of his two books. Thank you.
Okay. Good show, and everybody. Thank you, Ed. Very good. Thank you a lot.
One of the best stations in the Bay Area. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Let's go to another call. Good morning. You are on Minds Over Matter. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi. This is Kurt in San Francisco.
Kurt in San Francisco. How you doing?
Very good. I have a question may have been asked recently. I don't recall. If so, apologies to all, but I'll ask it again. Question sometimes comes up, what are the longest routes that you can go in a straight line on the land and on water? And I find the most interesting one is what is the longest distance you can sail on the ocean in a straight line without touching land or turning at all? And I guess it's a two-part question. I'm looking for the mile distance. And from what parts of the world do you start from and end up in? So I'm looking for two things. And as a bonus, if you can guess which two countries would be involved. So that's my question. Yeah.
So this is on water, correct?
Yeah.
Just to be clear? Okay.
Yes.
And it's how many miles and where would we start and then if we could go in a straight line? No zig or zagging, correct?
Kurt? Yeah.
No zigging or zagging.
All right.
Do not turn the tiller.
All
right.
Okay.
Cameron, you got it?
Well, no, I definitely have no definitive knowledge in this, but I'm going to guess starting somewhere in like the Aleutian Islands, going straight south down to somewhere in South America, Chile. How many miles that is, I have no clue, but I don't have a globe in front of me, so that's an uneducated guess.
Any of that close, Kurt?
Very close on one part of it, and that's a pretty good guess.
Okay.
Is so the Aleutian Islands the correct part?
One part of it.
Go ahead, Kara.
I'm sorry. Is the Aleutian Islands the correct part?
That's the correct part.
Okay. Right. Can you go through the Panama Canal in a straight line?
Ooh.
Can't get through the Panama Canal in a straight line.
Not in a straight line. Okay.
Interesting.
Okay, so then we would be traveling
these great circle kind of things. You have to go. Yeah.
Oh, so if you started in the Aleutian Islands, would you somehow like miss Antarctica and end back up in Alaska or and go all the way around? No, that doesn't make any sense.
You definitely miss Antarctica and you're near the Aleutian Islands, but you're not actually hitting the Aleutian Islands, but as I say, you're near the Aleutian Islands.
Okay, so would it be Russia?
Yeah, if Russia is, give yourself half a bell on that part.
Wow, that's interesting.
There's half a bell. And then how many miles is it, Kurt?
Okay, do we want the mile total?
I have no guess. Kira,
yeah,
Kira, do you have a guess?
I don't know the guess. I can tell you.
Why don't you take a shot at the miles? It's pretty phenomenal.
Okay, I'm going to say 21,000 miles. How's that?
How many?
I said 21,000. How crazy is that?
Oh, that's very, very good. Ooh. Anybody else?
Wow.
I think we stop with very, very good.
Yeah, very, very good. Yeah. We'll take it.
Let's rest on Lori's laurels.
Yeah, how many is it?
19,940 miles.
I'm giving myself a bell on
exactly 80% of the circumference of the Earth.
Gosh. Excellent question, Kurt. Thank you very much. Yeah. All right. Very good. All right.
Do you want to know the rest of it?
What? Oh, what was the rest of it?
Was there more? Go ahead.
Well, where do you start out?
Oh.
Well, I thought we started in the Aleutian Islands. No?
And ended in
Russia. Yeah, where are you going to end up then?
In Russia, Cameron.
Russia.
Said.
No?
Well, actually, let's go the other direction. You start out from the coast of Pakistan near Karachi.
Oh. Wow.
Then you go southwest from Pakistan down through the Indian Ocean. You have to go right between Madagascar and the tip of Africa.
Oh, okay. I was thinking going the wrong direction.
Drake Passage between South America and Antarctica. Then you cross the Pacific. You go below the Aleutians into the Bering Sea, and you touch base in the Kamchatka Peninsula in Russia.
Wow.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kurt.
Okay. Sorry, I misunderstood what you
Me
said
too,
earlier.
But
Got
that's
it.
Great.
Okay. That's
All
amazing.
Right.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. All right. I think I'll give you a question. Here's my
All
list
right.
question. It's sort of geographical. It has a weird premise. I was looking at the state capitals of the United States. I'm looking for state capitals in which the vowels in the state capital are in alphabetical order. But there's a couple of tricks.
Okay.
There have to be at least three vowels. Okay.
Okay.
Have to be at least three. And so something like Salem, Oregon, they're in alphabetical order, but there's only two vowels, so that doesn't count. Something like Little Rock, Arkansas, Little Rock has more than three vowels, but they're not in alphabetical order.
Okay.
And if they have two, like Tallahassee, they're in alphabetical order. There's three A's and two E's, but that wouldn't count because there's only two different vowels.
Okay.
That question makes sense? So
yes.
Three or more vowels in alphabetical order. Six state capitals, I'll give you one each, and if you happen to get a third one, that would be okay.
Okay, well, Sacramento is one of them.
That is one of them. Very good.
Okay.
Double A, E, and O. Karen, do you have one?
And I also had Sacramento, so let's
sorry.
Yeah, because Santa Fe has two A's and one E, so that doesn't count.
That's right. It doesn't.
How many guesses do we get?
Well, I'll give you one more E. I don't want to give out more than three, so I want you to get one, and then between the two of you, you can get one.
Okay. Cool. I will think for a moment.
Okay. You can do that. We'll talk during the
dead
air.
Thank you, yes. okay.
Let's see. In the meantime, we'll get ready to take a call in a second.
All right. Oh, this is wrong. Everything I'm writing down is wrong. I have one more, but I want Kira to
please
take a guess if she wants
to.
How about Charleston, South Carolina?
It is Charleston, South Carolina. What is it? It's
A-E-O. Just like Sacramento.
And Raleigh, North Carolina.
That's it.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
A-E-I. Correct. Okay. So we got Sacramento, Raleigh, and Charleston. We're looking for three more state capitals that have three or more vowels in them in alphabetical order.
Okay.
And it's time to take a call. So good morning. You are on Minds Over Matter. Welcome.
All right. It's us.
Oop.
Hi there. It's Danny and Sandra in Albany.
Hey, Danny and Sandra in Albany in East Bay. How you doing?
We're doing fantastic. How are you guys?
All right.
Good morning.
What do you got? What do you got for us?
Answers and a question.
I'm sorry you're sick, Kira. I hope you feel better.
Yes.
Good
luck cycling the cough so far. I got a cookie. I've got some Halloween songs. And Madison, Wisconsin is one of the state capitals.
It is.
Good.
You have one answer for each of us. Go ahead.
All righty. So the first cookie that you mentioned with the shortbread with the heart on top is called a Jammy Dodger.
Jammy Dodger.
That is correct, the Jammy Dodger.
And I think maybe
Go
the New
Dodgers.
Mexico one, I'm going to butcher the name, is something like a Bisco Quito or something.
That's great. The official the official cookie of New Mexico is indeed the Bizcochito.
Bizcochito. It's Italian, Spanish, whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't sound quite so appetizing that way. All right, let's see. How about some of the popular Halloween songs? This is right in my wheelhouse, folks. I start with Werewolves of London, Warren Zevon.
No, Werewolf of London, not on there.
How about Love Potion Number 9, Lieberman Stoller?
Also not on there.
Wow.
Again, it's a strange list.
My last gasp is casting my spell on you, Brothers Johnson.
Well, not the Brothers Johnson.
No, not on there. I'm
what
so sorry.
Zombie
yeah,
Jamboree? I love Zombie Jamboree.
Oh yeah, how about Zombie Jamboree? That's Belafonte.
Zombie Jamboree is also not on there.
Go for four.
Sorry, I know sorry. It's a weird list. Yeah. That's why
I'm not
liking, I thought it was
I'm not
interesting.
Liking this list at all.
We'll just make our own list.
I know.
Yeah.
No, well,
yeah.
My band is currently in the process of recording a Halloween themed album, and all those songs are on it. So, all right, well, we're going to try to popularize them all. All right, very good.
I've got
a couple questions here. All right,
okay.
I think this was more a Josh Cosman kind of question, uh-oh. But I don't know, Lori, you're old enough to have read the Lord of the Rings in a nerdily obsessive way like I did.
Wait, honey, you need to insult all of them.
No, just Lori.
I'll defer to Cameron and Kara on this. Go ahead. What do you got?
All right. So how many characters in the Lord of the Rings actually put the ring on their finger?
Ooh.
And here's a hint. It's a different number in the novels than it is in the films.
Yeah.
I'm deferring to Cameron, age-wise, every way wise, knowledge-wise. Go ahead.
Well, I want to say two, but is it three? Is it two or three?
There are six in the movies, and there's
wow.
one other in the book that didn't make it into the movie.
And those are?
Do you care here? Okay, you're not going to guess?
Okay, well, you have Frodo,
low-hanging
obviously.
Sorry? Yeah.
And then Gollum, I would imagine.
Yep.
Yeah, okay, that's not just in The Hobbit.
Nope. He puts it on at the very end before he falls into the hood.
Okay, what about, does Galadriel ever actually put it on her finger?
No, good guess, but no, there's
okay.
three of the hobbits. There's three hobbits that do it, and then there's Gollum.
Okay. Well, I'll guess some hobbits here. So Bilbo.
Yep.
Okay.
And
then
bells. Go ahead.
Mary or Pippin?
Nope.
No, okay. Oh, three. So the three hobbits are Sam. Then I didn't guess Sam, I guess. Did I?
That's right. Sam does.
Okay. So Sam, Frodo, and Bilbo.
That's
and then
right.
Gollum.
And then of course, Sauron, who made the dang thing.
Okay, sure.
And then we got Gollum, and then before the guy who cut the ring off of Sauron's finger was Isildur. That's
oh,
the
okay.
nerdy answer. But what's interesting?
The nerdy answer?
Well, no, the really nerdy answer is Tom Bombadil.
Oh.
He never made it into the movie.
I know. He's my favorite from the novels that never made it. And it's so sad. Great scene.
Right. Yeah. And the cool thing about Tom Bombadil is he's the only one who put the ring on and doesn't disappear. He just puts it on and grins at Frodo and then takes it back off again and hands it to him. And
he's
so
magical.
Nobody, it's never explained who the heck he is or why he is immune to it.
There's
right.
a great poem that comes along with him, so it's
hey,
okay.
There is.
Thank you,
there
Danny
is.
And Sandra. We'll hear from you next week. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Bye,
our
bye.
Phone numbers are 415-841-4134 and 866-798-8255. If you want to email us, studio@kalw.org. Joanne Marr wrote in that Sacramento is one of the state capitals, and Cameron got that, but wanted to give her a bell. And Kara, you're up.
All right. Is Salt Lake City also a state capital where they're all in order?
It is. Very good.
All right. I also have some...
we have one more left on that. Yeah.
Some weird alphabet stuff for you. If the letters of the alphabet are placed in alphabetical order by the letter's name, the first and final letters are still A and Z. The second letter is H, which would be A-Y-T-C-H. What is the third letter... And what is the penultimate letter?
Wow. There's a thing I've never thought about before.
So if you put the letters in alphabetical order by the name of the letter, what is the third letter and what is the 25th letter? So the first and second letters are A and H. Yeah. And the last letter is Z.
So like if I wanted to spell X, am I spelling it EX? And therefore
that is correct.
Getting?
Okay.
But if I wanted to spell Y, am I spelling it WHY?
Sure.
And will that be?
It would start with a W.
Right. Yeah. So would that be the penultimate one or no?
It's not.
No. Okay.
Oh.
All right. So.
Okay. And so while you think about that, since it's another potential dead air question, I will add that a longtime listener named Joseph sent me a Chronicle article from 2019. Might have sent it to you too, Lori, regarding a local man named Eric Kingsbury who has walked San Francisco's 49-mile scenic drive in a single go.
Cool.
As regards the walk begun at 5:40 a.m. on July 5th, 2019, how long did it take him to accomplish this feat? So
he walked the 49 miles.
He walked the 49-mile scenic drive.
Okay.
On July 5th, 2019, starting at July 5th, 2019 at 5:40 a.m., how long did it take him to walk it?
And can we presume he rested at night or not necessarily? Was it continuous? Do we have any clues? Like he might have walked 20 minutes a day and it took him a couple years?
He did it in one go.
Okay, yeah.
So it's not 20 minutes a day and he did it in 9 years or whatever you just said. It's not that. So in a single go, and that is all I will tell you on that, and you must guess off that knowledge.
Okay, I have a guess for the letter one.
Okay.
Is it Q?
Nope.
Oh. D.
Well, how did you spell Q? Did you spell
I was spelling Q-C-U-E, but now that I think about it, it has to be B. No?
It should it B?
Regardless of how you spell
B.
Q, so and I would spell it with a K, but I can see that I'll allow the French spelling.
Well, it could be C-U-E as well.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, C-U-E.
But B's before both of them, but neither of them are right?
That, so there's something else that starts with an A, that's hard. Okay, as far as... This is like a math problem from high school, the guy walking the 49 miles. So I'm going to guess 5 weeks.
It's way too
high. I'll give you the over-under. That is too high.
Too high. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, and he didn't sleep much. So if you didn't walk like a mile an hour.
Oh, yeah. If he didn't sleep much, then I'm going
to
say.
I'm going to go with 3 days.
It is not 3 days.
What's the over-under on that?
You're also over.
Okay. Oh, gosh, this guy's fast. Okay, this would take me 7 years to do. not really. 2 days.
It's not 2 days.
Okay. That's still over?
It is still over. So I will leave the next guest to the audience.
Okay.
It is under 2 days. And again, if the letters of the alphabet are placed in alphabetical order by the letter's name, the first and final letters are A and Z. The second letter is H. What is the third letter? And what is the penultimate or 25th letter?
And so we're about halfway through the show. So Kira? Review that question. Well, we got that one. Review the walking question, and your first question is the cookie question.
Okay. Let's see. A local man named Eric Kingsbury has walked the San Francisco 49-mile scenic drive in a single go. He started walking one of his walks. He started on July 5th, 2019 at 5:40 a.m. How long did it take him to accomplish the 49-mile scenic walk? Also, I've given you the names of some locations and descriptions of cookies. I want you to tell me the name of the cookie I'm describing. The ones we have left are an Italian waffle cookie that is frequently flavored with anise, vanilla, or lemon zest. A Southern Indian cookie that is a deep-fried rose-shaped cookie made with rice flour. A cookie that came from Massachusetts that is a rolled cookie with molasses, rum, and spices. And did I give you the ancient Arab-filled pastry cookie made with date nuts? I think I might have coughed.
No, you did not. You might have coughed.
Well, for the listeners then, ancient Arab-filled pastry or cookie made with date and nuts. So that's what I have.
And I have a guess on the third one in the alphabet. How about R? A-R-E.
R is correct.
Yeah.
R.
Or pirate. R.
R.
All
right. Okay, so looking for the penultimate.
Out the alphabet.
All right, Cameron, what do you have?
All right, the only thing I've asked so far is I'm looking for the top Billboard Halloween songs. We have number one, which is Monster Mash. I'm looking through two through five.
Can you tell us, did this, or when was this list made? And so does it include 21st century songs?
Yes, it does. It came out very recently. So,
Is it primarily 21st century songs?
No, it is not primarily. And actually, the top five that I'm looking for, there's only one 21st century song.
Okay.
And in my state capital question of state capitals that have three or more vowels in alphabetical order, we have Sacramento, Salt Lake City, Madison, Raleigh, and Charleston. We're missing only one more, and let's go to a call. Good morning. You are on Minds Over Matter. Hello. Hello.
Is that me?
Yep, it is you. Welcome.
Oh, hello. Hey, it's Kang in Oakland.
Hey, welcome.
Thank you. I think I know the cookie from Massachusetts. Is it the Fig Newton?
Oh, it's not. That is an excellent guess.
Yeah, it is.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've lived in that town. But it's rum, molasses, whatever you describe doesn't sound like the Fig Newton. But
yeah. There's no rum in the Fig Newton, yeah.
But yeah, the flavor may have changed since, you know, the adaption or something. But I was going to take this opportunity, since Dana's not here, to ask a music tangential question, a rock tangential question.
Oh, good.
Which may be totally obscure. Ace Frehley, the guitarist from Kiss, passed a few weeks ago. So in his honor, I wanted to ask what are the, if you can describe the Kiss, their make when they're in makeup, what it looks like, and what the names are.
Starchild, Pat. I don't remember the other two.
Kira's here for you, though.
I just remember Starchild and Cat.
Uh-huh.
Is one of them Demon?
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And then I'm going to use, like, the initial, like, the very first season of Gilligan's Island. I'm going to all the rest that last answer. So, all the rest.
That's got to be correct. Okay. All right, very good. Thank you.
Yeah, so it's actually, it's Catman. Demon. Do you know who's who?
So Catman was Ace Frehley, right?
No, the only one you didn't get is Ace Frehley.
Oh, okay. Well, fantastic.
And it rhymes, the name sort of rhymes with with Ace.
Space.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah. Is it Spaceman, yeah. Like an alien?
It's Space Ace or Spaceman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Do you want to try to describe what any of them look like, or
that might be a little too much?
That's a hard radio.
Yeah.
Radio, so.
Well, the demon one though is Gene Simmons, right?
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I just remember like the spiky eye makeup that goes down.
Yeah. One of them has a star over his eye too.
Yeah. That's right? Star Child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Star Child. That's Paul Stanley, and the cat is the drummer Peter Criss.
Okay, anyway, thanks.
Good job.
Thank you very much, caller. Appreciate it very much. Cameron, you're up. Cameron.
Okay. Well, as Kang just said, Dana's not here, so I'm going to ask you a sports question because the cat's away. And Lori, I imagine you'll get this, but let's see. Prior to the Dodgers moving to Los Angeles, what was the westernmost team in Major League Baseball?
Kira, you got a guess on this one? I think I know. I'm not sure.
Was it the A's?
No.
They were later. They moved later.
Yeah, they moved later.
Okay.
The Dodgers were kind of the first of the wave of moving west.
Kira, I need help because I think it's either St. Louis or Kansas City. I just don't know which one is more west. Is that the
Kansas? Right? Isn't Kansas City more west? St. Louis is on the Mississippi and Kansas City is on the Missouri.
So we'll go. What do you think? Is that one of them, Cameron? Is one of those right?
It is St. Louis. Yes, okay. The St. Louis Cardinals. Good job.
All right. Yeah. Very good.
Nice work.
Got another quick question?
Sure. I can give you another quick question. So I imagine many of our listeners are familiar with the Wilhelm scream, which is a sound effect that is used in many, many movies. First, most popularly used in Star Wars. Anyway, I'm wondering what Billboard Top 100 artist is suspected but not confirmed to have been the person to record the Wilhelm scream.
Isn't that the Sheb Woolley?
Yes. Oh, see, he already knew this.
Sheb Woolley Day a few years ago.
Great Did Sheb Woolley. Okay. Wow.
This good is job. Great. And what's haunting, his?
You've been haunting Billboard magazine. That's
Sheb Woolley is Purple People Eater.
People Eater, yes. And also a Halloween song that is not on the Halloween song list. So, you know.
What about Ramon's Pet Cemetery?
Oh, gosh, that would have been a good... No,
now is that also not Halloween enough for this list?
We are striking out.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's go to a call. Good morning, still. Welcome to Minds Over Matter. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Carla in Oakland.
Hi, Carla in Oakland. Welcome.
I have a guess on the Italian cookie. But I'm kind of torn between two because I grew up with both of them.
Okay.
And I think it's a pizzelle.
That is the one I have. I probably would have given you the other one too. There are several names depending on where in Italy you are, but pizzelle is the one that I typed up. So nice job.
Is the other one that you might have cialde?
I do not have that one on my list, but that's not because it's incorrect. It's just probably that I don't have it on my list.
We'll give it a bell anyway.
No, it's made on an iron as well. And also, for the Halloween song, mm-hmm. Is Spirit in the Sky?
No, wow. Spirit in the Sky is not on there. Nice okay. guess.
That'd be a long shot. Very good guess.
And I put a spell on you.
That is later on the list. I don't know. I forget what number it is, but it is not in the top 10.
Well, I'm a little later on the list too. So,
thank you, Carla. Yeah.
Well, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. And I have a short question I'm going to ask. It's a Patti Smith question. The singer's just put out a memoir, and her most famous album is really famous. The picture on it is famous. It's called Horses, black and white picture. Here's my question. I just heard her interviewed this week. What photographer took that picture, and who were they paying homage to in that picture? What other celebrity did they purposely try to recreate in that picture? So who was the photographer? Who were they paying homage to in what specific fashion? Kara, you seem to know it.
Well, no, the photographer's got to be Mapplethorpe.
It is Mapplethorpe.
I know, exactly one thing about Patti Smith.
Well, that's the thing. I think they're roommates and buddies. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
And he thought it'd be a great idea if they paid tribute to this other well-known performer. You know who it was? And if you once you know that and you look at the picture, as I did last night, I said, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I can think. I can picture the picture, but I'm
What's
not
the picture?
Sure.
What's the picture look like?
Because She's wearing a suit, right? But she has a jacket over one, it's not on. She has it over one shoulder.
Exactly right.
But that I don't know.
And it's a musician?
Yes.
Is it Joe? Not Joe Strummer. Okay, I guess
I don't know who you're thinking of. Yeah, it's not a Joe, and the person not a drummer.
Not a Joe.
It's another singer. I'll give you that hint.
Is it? No. I'm not sure.
I think we'll leave it out there. Maybe
is it Frank Sinatra?
It is Frank Sinatra.
Oh, cool.
In a movie called The Joker is Wild. Okay, very good. All right, excellent. Let's take another call here before we get to some more questions. Good morning. You're on Minds Over Matter. Welcome.
Hi, it's Tom in Southern California.
Hey, Tom. How's Southern California? Still celebrating those Dodgers?
They seem to be. The sky's blue, so...
Anyway, good morning.
Is the final capital, I think, might be Harrisburg.
It is Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Oh, good.
Very good.
Pennsylvania.
A-I-U. Very nice.
Yay. And let's see, you got the Sheb Woolley. My grandmother lived next to Sheb Woolley for many years.
That's cool.
I was a kid. Yeah.
Did you know him?
Let's see, I met him a couple times, but I was 6 or 7 years old. So I didn't really know much until after they told me about the Purple People Eater thing. Yeah. Let's see, the 49-mile walk, I'd say 3 to 4 miles an hour is probably not. It's probably pretty average, so I'm going to say 16 hours.
You nailed it. It is 16 hours.
Wow.
Nice
Good job.
So Eric Kingsbury started at 5:40 in the morning, and later that day.
Wow.
He was done.
So the 3-week thing was kind of far off.
Yeah. I think I guessed 5 weeks. Yeah. I was thinking of, like, you know, stopping at adorable little inns along the way and things. So it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Okay, now I guess some Halloween songs. How about Black Magic Woman, Santana?
Black Magic Woman is it number? It's on there too, but it's not in the top five.
Okay, Enter Sandman, Metallica?
Nope. Good song. Nope.
Freaks Come Out at Night, Houdini?
Ooh, also a good guess. I'm going to give everybody a hint because we're getting closer to the end of the show. Two of these songs are movie theme songs.
So, okay. Tubular Bells?
No, not Tubular Bells. I don't know what that
something
is.
From Rocky Horror?
No.
Okay.
Not the Come John on, Tom. Carpenter I know Halloween you know theme.
Tom, get it. We need you.
What did you
the
say,
Halloween
Tom?
Theme from John Carpenter?
No, nope, not the Halloween theme.
No, I have no idea.
All right.
Okay, but I do have one question unrelated to any of this. Okay. What was the first blurb, what is considered the first blurb? So you can give me the name of the author, the name of the person who gave the blurb, who is also an author, or the book.
So you're...
What century are we talking about?
This would be the 19th century.
Did Melville blurb a Hawthorne book? Or vice versa?
No.
I was going to ask that exact question.
Were you? Yeah.
Yeah.
They knew each other and promoted each other's stuff. Okay.
Was it something to do with Frankenstein and Mary Shelley?
No. No.
No.
Too okay. early.
What about Mark Twain?
Nope. No.
I think we need a hint.
Yeah.
Okay. The author was considered a shameless self-promoter, I guess, but also famous book of poetry.
Huh.
Is it Whitman?
Yeah.
Whitman, Leaves of Grass. Do you know who the famous three-named author who gave the blurb?
Jeez. I'm not sure who his buddies were. He lived in New York. I don't know. And it's another famous author? Is it a poet?
Yes.
William Carlos Williams.
No. That'd be too late.
Too late, yeah.
American poet?
Yeah, three-named American poet. Okay.
Transcendentalist.
How about another American, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, another American, yeah.
I think you should tell us, Tom.
It's Ralph Waldo Emerson.
Oh, okay. Of course. Three names.
Wrote Whitman a congratulatory letter after the first printing and included the phrase, "I greet you at the beginning of a great career." And Whitman had that stamped on gold leaf in the spine of the second edition.
Oh, that's nice.
Wow.
Thanks, Tom. Yeah. Have a good day.
Thank you. Great show. Adios.
I want to acknowledge a couple emails. Harold Smith got the 16 hours on the walk around San Francisco.
And nice job, Harold Smith.
Sparky and Maddie at Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And I don't know we had this guest, Cameron. I Put a Spell on You by Screamin' Jay Hawkins.
No, not in the top five.
All right. Either one of you have a quick question?
Quick question. Ooh.
Real quick.
Sorry.
Well, let's go to a call.
Okay.
Let's go to a call in a second. Good morning. We still have time. You are on Minds Over Matter. Welcome.
Hi, this is Sandy.
Hey, Sandy. How are you?
Yeah, good. And you?
Great.
I have the answer to the Persian cookie. I believe this is correct. Malmul.
You are correct. Nice job. The Very ancient nice. Arab cookie. Filled
good.
Cookie.
Yeah.
Delicious.
It's wonderful. And I got the mold, and it's just really, really a terrific cookie. So thanks for your show.
You're welcome.
For being able to call in. Have a good day.
That's great.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
I'll throw in my quick question. I heard a little bit on how they recorded Johnny Weissmuller's Tarzan scream. Oh. And they recorded his voice twice in F and F sharp, but they added one musical instrument to get the little wobbly sound in that, that kind of thing. What instrument did they add in the orchestration of his voice? That's my quick question of the day. Yeah, it's very cool. Got a big surprise. And then they showed how he did it.
Gosh, okay. Warbly instrument.
Yeah. Well, I would say if they made the instrument warble. Take one guess each.
Okay. I'm just going to say saxophone because I think it's funny.
You're not far off, but it's not the saxophone.
Okay. I was going to say flute. I don't know why, but
well, not. You're not far off in that. Okay. It can be high and warbly, and we'll leave it out there, and let's take another call. There's some people on hold. Good morning. You are on Minds Over Matter. Welcome.
Hi, it's Connie from Tampa. Hi. I just looked at phone, man. I've been on hold for over 40 minutes, so I think
Okay, you get the rest of the show. Okay. Come on.
Let me just tell you, I was scooped on the Patti Smith, both the Frank Sinatra and the Mapplethorpe. I was scooped on the Biscochitos for New Mexico. I just want to say to Kira, I'm always here for your Michigan and New Mexico and Florida questions. It seems like
I was going to say, I actually remember because you lived in New Mexico at some point, right?
I lived in New Mexico for a very long time.
Yeah, I was actually expecting you to call in with the New Mexico answer.
and the pronunciation is Biscochito, as you said.
Oh, very nice.
And then the other one I got scooped on, I have forgotten. But anyways, let's move on. Oh, the 16 hours. I knew the 16 hours as well. Okay, so my guess for the Halloween question is Spooky.
Oh.
A song called Spooky?
Love is kind of spooky. Oh. With a crazy little girl like you.
Yeah. Good song. Yeah, one. Not on the list, actually. Yeah.
Okay. And then I have a quick question for you all. So with the election of Mondani in New York City, can you tell me what these five people, previous mayors, current mayor-elect, have in common? William Russell Grace, Dinkins, LaGuardia, Beam, and... I think that's it. Sorry if I missed one. Any idea what they all have in common?
What they have in common with Mondami?
Well, in Mondami, that's the fifth one. Yeah. Well,
I mean, other than New York mayors?
Exactly. Yep.
Other than New York mayors. Okay.
It can't be their age, right?
No.
Are they all children of immigrants?
No.
No. That's a great guess.
So Grace has the mansion named after him. LaGuardia has the airport. Dinkins doesn't have anything named after him, though.
Actually, I thought that, too, but Gracie Mansion is not named after Grace, according to my research. Okay. It's named after a private, wealthy individual who had the last name of Gracie.
Oh, got it. Okay.
I think we
I can tell you all real quick if you want. Yeah.
Just a hint.
I'll just say the obvious.
Okay.
They were the first of something. So do you want to guess what they were the first of? Meaning like William Russell.
Oh, were they
Grace
the first from
first...
each borough?
Oh.
No. First Catholic, first Roman Catholic, and first Irish mayor.
Okay.
Beam was the first Jewish mayor. Mondami is obviously the first Democratic Socialist and Muslim mayor. LaGuardia was the first Italian mayor, and Dinkins was the first Black mayor.
Very nice. Huh. Excellent question. Thank you, Connie.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Okay. We had a call from Carlton who said the steel guitar might have been the instrument in Tarzan, and it was not. But we'll take another call to see if we have it. Good morning. You're on Minds Over Matter. Welcome.
Okay. I'll cram this question. Remember that there was something in the news about someone threw a sandwich at a federal officer?
Yes.
It made me think, what are the different ways people refer to something eaten between two pieces of bread around the country? The different names depending on where you are.
You mean like hoagie and submarine?
Yes. Where's hoagie from?
Is
that Pennsylvania?
It is. Like Philadelphia.
And then grinder is another regional
grinder
term.
From?
Lots of places. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's New England, right?
Yes, Boston.
Submarine
what about New York?
Submarine is one of those places.
New York, what I grew up with.
And not a submarine?
Yeah.
No, submarine tends to be the generic. That's why they could safely call the chain Subway. It's a pun on submarine sandwich, right? But there's also another name we called it growing up in New York area.
Maybe you should give it to us. I want to get one more call in if we can. What is it?
It's called a hero.
Oh, that's right. Very nice.
A hero.
Very good.
And there's another name that comes from New Orleans.
Muffaletta?
Muffaletta, yeah.
And have you ever heard of a po' boy?
Oh, po' boy. Yeah. I thought
that's... Po' boy. So that covers all of them. But I just noticed on the news that, or when you look at it, it's like they don't know what to call it. It tells you what the person who wrote the article, where they were from.
Yeah.
Or you can call it 12-inch tour, 1-footer. There's many different names for it. Okay, thanks.
Hey, thank you. A lot of food this morning. I think we have time for another call, don't we, David? We're good. At least one more. Good morning. You're on Minds Over Matter. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. You're on.
Oh, hi. This is Kathy on Belvedere Street, Cameron.
Oh, hi,
Kathy.
Kathy
on Belvedere Street.
My neighbor.
This is Nepo Day. Yeah.
How about the blob for the Halloween song?
Not on there, no.
I don't know the music from the blob. Yeah. Yeah, good guess.
It's an old movie.
Oh, great movie, Not the theme song.
Are you a longtime listener but first-time caller?
Yes, I am.
Every time I walk past Kathy, she says, I heard you on the radio.
Very good. Oh, yeah, good guess. Yeah. All right.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Good morning. Sure. You're on Minds Over Matter. Hello.
Hey, it's Kangs in Oakland again. I think I have the Halloween songs.
Okay, great.
The clue about the movie inspired two, which the second one's not a movie. Ghostbusters?
Yes, the Ghostbusters theme song is this number two.
Nice.
Okay. And Thriller?
No, so Thriller is actually number 22 on the list, which is insane. But no.
Yeah.
But you got one.
And thank you. Yay. And clarinet, Laurie?
Yes, clarinet is the instrument used to record Tarzan's voice. Very good.
Have a good weekend. Bye.
All right. Time to clean up, or we have time for one more? Okay. Let's go. It is time to clean up. So what do we have left out there in the food and movie category, or whatever we have?
All right. The Southern Indian rose-shaped cookie is an achapam. The Massachusetts cookie is the Joe Frogger. And if you put the letters in alphabetical order, the penultimate letter would be U.
Y-O-U. Okay. Very good. And we got the other one. Cameron, what do you have?
Okay. So numbers 3 through 5 on the Billboard Top 25 Halloween songs. Number 3 is Frankenstein by the Edgar Winter Group. Number 4 is The Monster by Eminem featuring Rihanna. And number 5 is On Our Own from Ghostbusters 2. Bobby Britton. I know, weird. It's a strange
Bobby Brown.
Bobby Brown. I'm sorry, I can't read my own handwriting. Bobby Brown.
And I think that I have nothing left. So that's it for this morning. Thank you very much for listening in. Big thanks to Kara Pace and Cameron Shaw for their participation, for Damian Miner for being on the board here and posting the podcast soon after. We should be back next week, and if Dana manages to get a flight back home from wherever he is, he'll be on. Otherwise, there'll be some of us will be here at 10 o'clock next week. Thank you very much for calling in. Sorry if we put you on hold. Have a great week, everybody. Thank you all, and see you next week. Thanks, all.